Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is your host, Raheem, live and in living color for you today. Well, we have a pretty interesting show for you today. The make sure, everything's okay. we're talking about love. You know, we always talk about love first. But today, the topic for today is why are words important? When are we judged? An origin of this dimension. Okay. Now we always talk about love first because that's so important. You know, we talk about our communities. We don't get together, and we can't do this and we can't do that. As far as communities are concerned, how can you come together with anybody if you don't love each other? You have to love your family members, but we don't know how to love, so that creates the problem. They give us this spooked out notion of what love is. You get hit by love and all of a sudden you're stalking and chasing people around and you're harassing people. No, that's not love. I don't know what that is, but it's not love. Love is an action word. And if your actions don't make the other person feel good, then it's not love, okay? And love should be reciprocated. You know, you act, make them feel good, they act, make you feel good, and everybody's happy. So until we learn how to love each other, we're not going to be able to build strong communities. That's why we're having so much trouble in the communities that we have today. Now, there's two words that the 1% do not want you to know the meaning of, period. One word is love, and the other word is religion. They do not want you to know the meaning of those two words. Do a test, okay? I really don't talk too much about love. But do a test, okay? Ask 10 people what love is to them, and you'll get 10 different answers. You know, you might get lucky, and maybe 2 out of the 10 might give you the same answer, but really they don't know. Do the same thing with religion. Ask 10 people what religion is to them. You'll get 10 different answers. Once again, if you get lucky, maybe 2 people might give you the same answer. If you ask 2 people in the same religious group, they might give you the same answer. But even people in the same religious groups are going to give you different answers, okay? My voice is a little rough today. I've been up, been working pretty hard this week. So you might have to bear with me a little bit. Now, love is that, we talk about love all the time because it's so important. So love is the act to make others feel good, okay? Now, religion, that's a big deal. Religion, right? Now, I'm going to give you my thought process on religion. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. It's a thought process. We don't have to debate about different things because where you live at is between you and Source, okay? Religion is realigning yourself to become one with Source. That's what religion is. Okay, all these big groups and all the stuff we got going on has nothing to do with religion. Okay, if you read in the Bible, if you read everything that they said Jesus said in the book, Yahshua ben Bedera, that's his full name. If you read everything they say he said, he never claimed to be a part of any religion. He never claimed to be a part of any particular religious group. Whenever they asked him, he said, I and my Father are one, realigning yourself to become one with Source. He called Source Father. Okay? Check it out for yourself. Go read, study. You know, I'm just giving you ciphers so that you can begin to understand what's going on and why the 1% got us so crazy. We don't know what to do, what's up, and which way to go. Okay? Now, that brings us to why words are so important. If you don't know what the words actually mean, your thought process won't be in tune to what's going on, okay? Now, the 1%, they knew how important language is, okay? And also, Yahshua ben Bedera, he knew how important language is. That's why he gave you a cipher about language. He didn't give us no cipher about language. Yes, he did. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, thou shalt give account thereof in the day of judgment. Right? Now, we know words are important. So it didn't say on the day of judgment. It said in the day of judgment. Now, why is in more important than on? We'll get to that in a minute, okay? 1%, they know how important language is. So based on your understanding of the words that you speak, it controls your thought process. Your thought process determines whether you become free or a slave. Your thought process determines whether you are dominating or being dominated. Okay? That's important. In Genesis 1:26, it says that you shall have dominion over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, that's very important because if you're not in a position to dominate, then you're going to be dominated. That's what happened to the global empire that the melanated people had set up at one time. Okay, they put the Bible down, and the Europeans picked the Bible up. Now, who's in control? But you take the book and throw it in the trash. I'm just saying there's ciphers. Yahshua ben Bedera, whom he called Jesus Christ, gave us ciphers to not only understand the Bible, but every book that you read. Once you understand these ciphers, I don't care what book you pick up. You'll be able to go through that book and how they say, you'll be able to read between the lines, okay? Now, once the oh boy, something's going on here. Somebody's taking control of my computer, making things happen, and it ain't me. These guys are something else, what I'm telling you. So we're going to move right along. We're going to let them interrupt the thing unless they cut me off. So the 1% took letters from the Book of the Dead. They created a language where they could change the frequency of the words. By changing the frequency, they could cause your mind to vibrate out of tune with the universe and put you to sleep. Okay? A hypnotist knows the sound of their voice is more important than the distraction that they give you with the objects. Okay? the letters that they added from the Book of the Dead are the vowels. I remember in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Arabic, there were no vowels in the original language. How come for thousands of years they did not need vowels and all of a sudden vowels showed up? You know, something is going on. Somebody's playing around with the words. Somebody knows exactly what they've done, and the 1% understand this. So, and that's why when you go through from kindergarten to high school, you're given a certain type of language. You're getting, but when you go from high school to college, the language and the words change. You go from at college, you get to academic. It's academic vernacular, all right? And in high school, it's conversational English or academic English and conversational English. That's why when you talk to a person that's been going all the way through college, they'll say something, then they'll say, well, in other words, they have to come back and explain it to you in conversational English. Because the academic English is more abstract than specific. And since it's more abstract than specific, it could mean so many different things. They did that so they can escape. They say, you watched the presidential election, right? These people say stuff. And then when you challenge them on it, they can switch it all around, spin it any kind of way they want, because in the academic English, there's room to do that. They can play with the words and stuff, okay? Now, Yahshua or Jesus understood what they were doing. That's why he gave you the cipher. That's why he said, for every idle word you speak. Let's look at the word idle. Idle. Work for lack of motion and or energy. Lack of motion and or energy. The act of nothing or no work. Now, this is what the dictionary says, but you also got to check on Black Law Dictionary, too, to get a better understanding of some of these words, because these words go a lot deeper than what they're giving us as far as the meaning of the words are concerned, okay? But it's a lack of motion or no energy. So when you use like profanity are idle words to emphasize the frustration or anger, which gives you the impression of lack of control. When a person usually using profanity, it's because something's not going right, and they want to put an emphasis on it, and it makes them sound angry or out of control. You know, the profane language are idle words. Don't curse, you know, because it changes the frequency of your brain, and it causes different things to happen. It causes a shift. It causes a shift in your mindset. Okay, and now it's very good for you to speak to things that are in the now, for that's the only reality that exists. The future don't exist. The past don't exist. The only reality that there is in the now. That's why Jesus said, for every idle word you speak, that shall give account for in the day of judgment. He's talking about in the now, because Jesus spoke mostly in the now. When he asked him to show me how to pray, he said, our Father, who art in heaven, give us this day. Mostly in the now, because that's the only reality. And when you speak in the future tense, in the past tense, it throws your, it puts you in a thought process where you're not developing what you think about. Because what you think about, you bring about, because you are a God. And I know some people, well, how can I be God? Because I'm not sitting on a chair.
up there in the chair and messing around in everybody else's business. And that's not what a God is, according to where I live at, according to my thought process, okay? A God is one who's able to put energy in motion, okay? If you can put energy in motion, you're a God. The guys that came here to set up this country, what you're going through right now is the energy that they put in motion. We talked about law and energy in motion and mathematics. We talked about that on one of the shows. So I don't want to go too far off topic here, right? It's very good. It's very wise. Well, I don't know how wise it is. Let me go back up a little bit. But it's very good for your mind, for your brain. I'm saying mind and brain. They're two different things, okay? It's very good for your brain to get used to hearing things in the now, not in the future, not in the past. For you are being judged in the now. Every day you reap what you sow. It might not seem like it. Some people are very successful. Some people aren't. Even the cooks are being successful. Some of the so-called wise people having trouble making it across the street because where they live at, because of what their thought process is. It's very important for you to deal with thought processes rather than what people are telling you, what things are saying, because the thought process that you're in is going to determine what you're going to be doing, when you're going to be doing, how you're going to be doing, everything else, okay? Just remember, what you think about, you bring about. If you're thinking about the future, then you're not thinking about what you're doing right now. If you're thinking about yesterday, then you're not thinking about what you're doing right now. What you're doing right now in the present makes tomorrow and makes yesterday. So your foremost concentration should be in the now. Now, you must understand law so that you can guide yourself with mathematics. Right? So let's just talk about law for a minute. Law is the measurement of energy in motion. Okay, I think we went through that. One of the other chapters went through that. Law is the measurement of energy and motion, okay? When you are young, they ask you to keep a diary to practice measuring your energy and motion. It's so important to keep a record of what you are doing and how long it takes for you to do it, okay? Now, why is that so important? Because you're measuring your energy and motion, okay? Don't guess at how long it takes you to brush your teeth. Time it. Write it down. Write down how long it takes for you to take a shower, how long it takes for you to take a bath, how long it takes for you to wash your face. So when you tell somebody, I'll be there in 20 minutes, you know exactly how long it takes for you to do each thing that you have to do. So in 20 minutes, you're standing there. You know? This is why they talk about CP time, because we're not using the scientific methodology. That's actually the scientific methodology. Okay, measuring your energy and motion is a scientific method. Uh-oh, these guys. If we go off the air, somebody can text me and let me know that you're here because they're playing around with my computer. My computer's doing stuff. we're doing it, okay? where was that? So when you're in the process of doing stuff, all right, now, don't guess how long it takes and say, well, it might take me about an hour or something. Don't guess at it. Do it first. Then write it down. Then you know exactly how long it takes for you to do what you have to do and how long everything is. Now, why do we need to keep a record? We need to keep a record for the children. Now, if you keep a record for the children when your children grow up, you don't want them going to somebody that had it in for you for help. They need to know who perceive you as their enemy. Not that you have an enemy, but they perceive you to be their enemy. You don't want your children going in the house because they will take advantage of your children and cause your children harm financially and maybe even physically, okay? So it's important that you leave some type of record for your little ones, for the children, for the grandchildren, so they can say, well, my mama, my grandmama did this, my grandpapa did that, and he left us this to show what he did and how he was successful at this, how he failed at that. That way they have a record to stand on your shoulders. It's not a coincidence that these guys, the presidents, when they leave office, they write their memoirs and stuff like that there. They want to, they list this stuff down so they can know who's who and what's what as far as the children is concerned, okay? Now, now Jesus knew that idle words created an idle man or old woman, right? Now, if you use a lot of idle words, your time and your energy is going to be about nothing, about absolutely nothing. Have you ever talked to some people, talked to them for an hour, and you talk about absolutely nothing, you know? I mean, absolutely nothing, because that's where they live at. They live in an idle reality, so nothing gets done all day. They don't do anything all day because of where they live at. That thought process will keep them sitting in front of the TV, watch them idle shows that's about nothing, you know, or watching other people live their lives and do their lives where they sit around doing nothing. All right? Now, now, when are you being judged? Let's talk about the judgment for a minute, okay? your judgment is in the now, not in the future. Let's talk about the origin. Well, we're not going to talk about the origin just a minute. I'm moving kind of fast here. I'm way ahead of schedule with everything. Because these guys are playing around with my board and sort of distracting me, but we're going to keep moving. Okay? let's just keep talking about that idle man or that idle woman. Let's just stay there for a minute, okay? Now, it's good for you to use Black Floyd Dictionary as well as Webster's to observe the contrast and some of the words that you're using. Because the words are very tricky and they're very important. that's why I like Will.i.am show, because he emphasizes what words mean. You think words mean one thing, you go look it up in Black Thought, it means something totally different. And the thought process that you're under, based on the words that you understand, will really have you being about nothing. Now, think about the guys that watch the football games and the baseball games and the basketball games. Here, these guys, they know every stat, every ball is hit, every time a guy throws a basket, what his name is, whose family. You understand? These guys, they don't play ball. They don't gamble on a game. They don't own a team. Why are they spending so much time in that? It's all about the idle mind. Basketball, football, baseball, sports, things do not do anything to push our culture forward, to push our society forward. Those are distractions. The 1% set those things up for distractions because they don't want you involved in what's really controlling your lives. They don't want you dealing with that. They want you dealing with the story. That's when the guy stood up and didn't want to stand up for the national anthem. It was a big outcry. That they do not want politics to enter into where they're distracting all the people from what they're doing. You know, they're stealing, robbing, doing everything under the sun. They don't want the people to know what's really going on, you know. Just like Donald Trump talking about the elections are rigged. The elections have always been rigged. Remember, at first, the election was rigged against everybody except upper class white men. If you were an upper class white man, you couldn't vote. Women couldn't vote. It was rigged against the women. And you had to march and raise without K until they unrigged the election against you. Then it was rigged against the blacks. It was rigged against the minority. The elections have always been rigged, you know? He's bringing that out because he knows he's going to lose, but he wants to generate a following because it's all about that money. This guy spent less than $100 million on an election, and he collected $360 million in 1 month. So whether he was to lose, it doesn't matter. Donald Trump got paid, and that's his bottom line. You follow what I'm saying? So we have to be mindful of what they're using to distract us from reality. You're supposed to be running this government. You're supposed to be preparing children to take office. Are we preparing children to take office? We don't even think like that. We say, oh, man, well, my son, Johnny, he's pretty good. He's pretty good at talking. Every time he does something, he lies, we're out of pretty good. We should get him into politics. Maybe we should find the resources to get him into politics. But we're not thinking like that, you know? we have to upgrade the way we think, upgrade the things that we talk about, upgrade what we're doing with our lives, with our minds, with our children. I'm watching some of the direction that they're sending the children in mentally, and it's pretty bad. It's really, really pretty bad, and we really have to step up and do better than that, okay? Now, before I go into the next thing, I'm kind of on schedule today because they are distracting me so much. I wish you could see my computer, my laptop. I got two laptops set up, and the one with the radio show, it's doing stuff, and I'm not clicking on the mouse or anything. They just do whatever they want to do, but they haven't shut me off the air. I'm just going to keep running my face. But right now, let's give a couple of shout-outs here. This is the Elohim Radio Show over here. It'll be Sunday at 3 p.m. Philadelphia time. The call-in number is 646-564-9888. Now press 1 if you want to give a shout-out or say something, or you want to give a little commercial about one of your groups or what you're into or what you're about, and that'll be fine. Just press 1. We will just use the last 4 digits of your phone number. We won't call your name unless you want us to do that, okay? And now remember, when you call in, we are not going to debate you on anything. We don't debate about the Bible or a book or anything else, because where you live at is between you and Source. That's between you and yours. Now, my job to change where you live at, and trust me, you're not going to change where I live at, but it would be nice sometimes to hear what you say, because other people might be living the same place you live at, and they might want to hear maybe your thoughts or your opinion or something, okay? But we're not going to debate any issues. Well, this is something that we don't do. but your opinion and your view is warranted if you want to give it, okay? We have released our gospel CD, 911 Jesus Emergency, Jesus Coming CD link, CD Baby. The link is CD Baby/CD/Christ2. That's the number 2, so check it out. We ask ourselves, when Jesus comes back, where is he coming from? We think he's coming from the same place he came from the first place, out of the goddess's womb. So your sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping, the charm that you keep, just might get us out of the mess that we're in. So don't take our chance away from us. We need those babies. Don't forget to check out my book, The Run of Prescriptions Part 2, A Crisis Come. For more information on our CD and book, just call TCCA at 215-294-0223 from 9 to 5. And you can get that information, okay? Now, the Will I Am show comes on right after mine. It's a very powerful show. This guy talks about everything in the universe. He's like a walking encyclopedia, okay? He comes on at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. His number is 215-632-0460. And the PIN number, because it's a conference call, is 726-476-87#, okay? He comes on right after me, so give him a shout-out. You can pick up some pretty good information, okay? I would like to give a shout-out to Horace Butler for his Black History book and Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces, all right? I'm not going to go too much into it, but if you get a chance, check him out. I think it's worth it, okay? Legacy of the Nation show comes on at Saturday, hosted by Brother Mack and Son. It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. They talk about history, health, economics, and politics. The call-in number is 319-527-6199. So give Brother Mack a shout-out. Also, you can call the number 6 o'clock in the morning. 7752 has a show come up every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. So before you head in for a cup of coffee, you want something to get you started for the day, just give them a call at 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? I'd like to give a shout-out to the Nikki Love Show. She's on with Spiritual Advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. The call-in number for her show is 347-215-8040. You can also get to our website, NikkiLoveWuNam.com. We also have the Blood Cross Nurses, Division 178, at 53rd Gerard, Philadelphia. And boy, do we need our own nurses. The doctors are killing us. For those of you who don't know, the third leading cause of death in America are the actual doctors. That information was put out by the American Medical Society, so I'm not just beating up on the doctors, okay? They're headed by Basim Muhammad. They're calling numbers 215-796-0366. And RBG Industries, 1920 LLC, they make design of clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit, just call 609-638-5828. And they'll take care of you. I would like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old-school style out of Philadelphia. He has six CDs on the market. Just Google CD Baby and type in Yesterday's Child, or you can call Thomas Thornton for more information at 267-259-4077. I'd like to give a shout-out to the Heaven Bound Gospel Singers, who have just released their new CD called Reflections. For more information on that album and how to book group, call Patrick at 215-471-419. I've seen these guys throw down, and what a treat it was for me. So treat yourself. Go and check them out, okay? I'd also like to give a shout-out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors, okay? We got Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864, okay? So if you're sick and don't have these guys' number on the speed dial, you need to be, no, we don't want nobody to really be sick. So go ahead and give these guys a call, and they can help you out. They can keep you pretty healthy. So don't worry. Call these guys and be healthy, okay? Now, the next topic that we want to get into a little bit here is the origin. I preserved a lot of time for this because this is something that, this is a very interesting thought process, and I would like to give this thought process in its complete form, okay? The origin of this dimension, right? Now, we are actually spiritual beings, or what we call incorporeal beings, right? We come from another dimension, not this dimension. We're incorporeal beings. We came to what is called a black hole up near Sirius A, B, and C. When we first came to the black hole, now why we came into this dimension, because incorporeal life gives off a physical gas. That physical gas came through the black hole into this dimension, and gas builds up so much that the incorporeal entities, which are your ancestors, by the way, the incorporeal entities, was worried about the gas igniting and burning a hole in both dimensions. So it came into this dimension to monitor the gas. They set up Sirius A, that's a dense sun, so that it could withstand the pull of the black hole. And when they came in, that was the first one that they set up was a test to see if they ignited part of the gas, would it ignite through the whole dimension, or they could stop it if it started burning, but it didn't. Dark matter, okay, the Europeans know about dark matter. They don't know what to do with it, how to affect it, but dark matter kept the particles moving so that they were separate enough so that the gas wouldn't ignite and burn through the whole dimension. So they set up Sirius A, and they decided that they wanted to stay in this, that somebody had to stay in this dimension to monitor the gas. So they set up Sirius A, Sirius B, and Sirius C, so they start setting up the planets it will nullify the effect or the pull of the black hole. I'm just trying to look for a good word to throw in there. It will nullify the pull of the black hole and start setting up planets, all right? Now, here's the kicker. It took 6,000 years to set up this dimension, but it didn't happen 6,000 years ago. According to one of our messengers, it happened over 70 trillion years ago. But it took 6,000 years to set it up. Now, the people that are reading the Bible, they've been giving them a hard time. The universe is not 6,000 years old. Duh. We know that. Just like the White House. The White House was built, it took about 3 or 4 years to build the White House. But it didn't happen 3 or 4 years ago. It happened over 100 years ago. You know what I'm saying? This is how they're getting everything all sold off. All right? So it took 6,000 years to set the dimension up over 70 trillion years ago. So those of you who are online that are Christians, that are dealing with the Bible, you keep getting harassed about this because they've been harassing the Christians about this for a long time, and they haven't had an answer for them. But this is the answer. It took 6,000 years to set it up, but it didn't happen 6,000 years ago, okay? That's the whole misconception, all right? Now, because they came in to set this dimension up, this is very interesting. This is very interesting thought process that you need to have. There was no Big Bang, okay? The noise that they're hearing out there is normal noise of the planetary bodies moving around. That's the noise that they're listening to. There was no Big Bang. Your ancestors, think about this now. Your ancestors came through and set this up. Now, when they're talking about E.T., look in the mirror. Your E.T., modern man, no modern man or woman no modern man or woman is indigenous to this planet. None. We're all from other planets, you know. Isis and Osiris, if you check their temples, the pyramids, Shea, that leads directly to the planet where they came from, up in a constellation Psi, where they call Orion's Belt now. They had a chamber that went right to the planet that they were from. Osiris was his shaft went to the first planet on Orion's Belt, and Isis, hers went to the planet next to Orion's Belt. So that's very interesting. So when you get in and start checking this stuff out, check it out. Go Google it up. Look it up. You know what I'm saying, you know? You came here, okay, to do a work, and the work was to maintain and monitor the burns that were going on this planet. Now, this is where this so-called concept of heaven and hell comes from. Heaven is your incorporeal realm that you're from. Hell is those that are monitoring, okay, the sun and the sun cycles that's going on around here, all right? So there's no actual place where some guy sitting on a hot rock down in the middle of Earth drinking tea, waiting for your souls to come down so he can torment you for the rest of your life. Those nonsensical stories throws your thought process off so that you can't get into the reality of what actually is going on, okay? I'd like to stop for a minute. All those that are on the line, I thank you so much for calling in. I see people calling, hanging up, calling back, hanging up, calling back. I hope that you're able to hear what I'm saying. The last time that happened, certain people couldn't hear what was going on, and they were hanging up, calling back and forth, okay? But those that are on the line, I want to thank you so much for calling in. Let me know that I'm not alone. Somebody's listening out there to this madness, you know. Well, it's not really madness. But as a messenger, I have to give the message out. This is what I'm doing. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. I think we got about, oh, my goodness, we don't have that much time left. We got 20 minutes. Okay. As a messenger, it's our job to give the messages, to get the message out. What you do with these messages is up to you, okay? We're not saying that we're right. We're not saying that we're wrong, okay? It's a thought process, and we want to get you into a particular thought process that you can better understand where you live at and what you're trying to do. Now, let's get into that thought process for just a minute, all right? Stop. Ask yourself, what is my end game, okay? What to hope to accomplish. By the time I get ready to leave, I don't know what year you expect to leave or what year that's in your mind that you think you want to leave, what do I hope to accomplish? What's going to be my end game? And based on what you think your end game is, you need to go back to the beginning and find out if what you're doing now is going to actually get you to where you're trying to go. Okay? You need to stop for a minute and ask yourself, because a lot of us don't have an end game. They push this thing on us that we're going to work, we're going to work for 20 years, we're going to retire, we get the gold watch, you know, we work hard, send our children to college, and our children do the same thing. It's a constant cycle over and over and over. Somewhere, somehow, is the knowledge inside your mind to change your reality. To change whatever you want. You have the ability, you have the power, it's within you to do that. But your thought process has to change. Now, the first thing that we think you need to change in your thought process is the most damaging thing that the religious institutions have given you that's causing you more harm than anything else. And that is that you were created. Okay? You were not created. Like Yahshua says, you and your Father are one. You're one with all of this. You are an extension. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Those of you who had some science, if energy cannot be created or destroyed, how would you create it? See? You are connected to the entire cosmos. Everything out there is a part of who and what you are. And you can use that energy to bring forth whatever you want. The question is, what do you want? A lot of us want one thing this week, want something else next week. And energy is saying, I don't know what to do here. But so you lose what you asked for last week while source is working on what's coming for next week. Then the following week you change again. You know, some people pray, oh, Lord, I want so much to happen for me in Philadelphia. Then you move to New York. And you in New York catching hell. Because all you ask for everything to come to you in Philadelphia. You have to be careful what you ask for. Like my mother used to say back in the day, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. You're going to get what you're asking for. Be careful what you ask for. Ask for things that fit systematically in the plan that you have set up. If you're planning on a certain thing, once you get your end game, start from the end game, work your way back. Don't go from the bottom. Don't go from the beginning, work your way to the end. Start from what you're trying to accomplish. Then you work your way back, step by step by step by step, making up your plan. And then you have your first step. So as you're asking yourself, which is the universe, when you're putting this thought process in motion, when you're putting this energy in motion, you're asking for a step-by-step thing that's going to take you all the way to where you're trying to go. But the first thing you have to figure out is where you're trying to go. Most of us don't know where we're trying to go. We know we need money to pay the bills, and we know we need trying to fatten our bank account up and all that, but to what end? To what end? So this is my message for you today. Work on your end game. Do what you have to do. Understand that you were not created. You are an extension of Source. Everything that is, you are a part of. As one of my messengers said, I am that I am. Okay? You got to remember that. I am that I am. I am one with the Father, okay? You can will the I am to do whatever you want, but you have to know what you want, and that's key to the whole thing. We run around here. We don't know that we're supposed to be running this government. We don't know that that's what we're supposed to be doing, that we're supposed to be worried about the Senate and Congress and what's going on in the department and what's happening at the, and even down to the block captain. Half of us don't know who the block captain is. You know, we're supposed to be involved in every aspect of life based on the energy of those that put this energy in motion to bring this country to where it is today. Okay, I'm using certain terms. I don't want to go using specific words based on what we talked about of what law is and what energy in motion is based on that conversation. I don't know. I see we have a few new callers here on the line, so you might want to go back into our Block Talk catalog and pull up some of the other shows and listen to some of the shows so that you can catch up on some of the stuff that we were talking about, so you know where my thought process is. And I'm not saying that my thought process is right or my thought process is wrong. It's not about that. And when you talk to each other, you have to get into that type of mindset. The person you're talking to, it's not a question of being right or wrong. It's a question of you being able to understand what they're saying so that you can talk to them. why would you talk to a person knowing, if I'm a Christian, you're a Muslim, okay? Why would I talk to you knowing you're a Muslim to say all the wrong things out of my mouth, knowing that's going to piss you off? It don't make sense. If I know you're a Muslim, then I'm going to say things that's conducive to your mindset so we can get some type of dialogue going, you know? This is what understanding the other person's thought process is. But if you're worried about who's right and who's wrong and who's this and who's that, you're going to be arguing and fussing and fighting all day long, okay? Because where they live at, it's where they live at, and you have to accept that. This is where that person lives, all right? It's not your job to change where they live at because you might cause them more harm than you can possibly imagine because they're comfortable where they live at, they're getting along with people where they live at, and once you change that, then it's a whole different thing going on. So you don't really want to get in the position where you think it's your job to actually change people's mindset. It's your job to understand so that you can act out of love with this person, so that every act that you do will make this person feel good, so that when that person think about you, they have good thoughts. They have a good feeling about you, you know? As we talked about love, your heart has a neural net that communicates with the brain, and it gives off hormones. So when somebody does something that don't make you feel good, you remember that. And every time you get around, a hormone comes, oh, I just don't like this guy. You know, I don't like this female, you know. Because their actions have didn't make you feel good. So those hormones and those things come up, and it throws the whole thing off. Okay, this board, my board is going crazy. I've never seen anything like this. But I'm still talking. Most of you are still here. But some of you are calling in, calling back, calling in, calling back. If you can't hear me, hopefully the broadcast will be aired on the Internet. So you can pick the broadcast up on the Internet. And if you can't hear me on the phone today, you know. But like again, once again, I'd like to stop and thank everybody for everybody that's on the line. I want to thank you for checking in. Thank you for listening to what's going on. And boy, I can't believe it. Boy is doing what he's doing. It's pretty distraction, but we're going to keep going. What I'm going to do is I just want to say just one more thing about the origin of this dimension. You're not evolving. I just want to say this. This is my thought process, okay? You're not evolving. You are who you are. Came into this dimension the way you are. I mean, not into this dimension, but you came to this planet the way you are, all right? Now, there's a life cycle that Yeshua gave a cipher on. We're talking about the crucifixion story. Your cycle is from when you're conceived, and the completion of that cycle is when you're able to incarnate. Remember when after they crucified Jesus? This is the story. But we move to the next part, where he incarnated. That's the actual meaning of the story, is the incarnation. This is what we're supposed to be working towards. This is what the meditation is all about. This is what eating certain foods is all about. This is why you're not supposed to eat flesh, because flesh, eating flesh destroys you not only on a physical level, but on a spiritual level as well. So we're supposed to be incarnate, and we're eating less of God, then we have a problem. That's why in Genesis it said, I gave you every fruit, plant, bearing seed for meat, you know, not flesh. We're not supposed to be eating flesh. So if you get a chance, start backing up off the flesh, cut out the red meat, go a little turkey, chicken, fish, or whatever. But cut out the red meat altogether, period, and then start backing down little by little. And since we have the vegan culture out there, you can find ways to get your protein without actually having to consume flesh, all right? So that's the life cycle. That's the actual cycle. That's the life cycle. So we have to come back over and over and over until we're able to accomplish that. And that's what's going on. It takes 500 years to come back. That seems like a long time in sun cycle years, but in realm time and sun cycle time, it's different. you might be out there, it seemed like a year around time, but you'd be going 4 or 5 years. You know, those of you who've ever left the body, I don't know, like I said, I don't know what your thought process is, but those who have ever left the body and had those type of experiences, then you know there's a difference between realm time and physical time. You stay out too long, people think you're dead, they want to put you in a coffin, and you just and you're just out there floating around doing. So I'm going through quite a few things here. This they got me a little thrown off today, and I apologize for jumping around like this. But they have distracted me. So anyway, I did promise somebody, I think who's on the line now, that I was going to talk a little bit about the budget, all right? About the economic budget, about the 50% budget. So what we got about we got about 10 minutes, so we can get into the budget a little bit, the economic budget. Okay, economics is somebody else working and paying you, okay? And if you don't have somebody working and paying you money, you don't have economics, what you have as a job. A job is a means to get economics, but a job is not economics. What you need to do is go through your finances and figure out what you're spending, what you're saving. And if you're at the point where you can't save half of what you're taking in, then you're living beyond your means. If you get on a 50% budget, you'll be able to save in a manner that will blow your mind. You'll be able to get into real estate. You'll be able to do things that can create residual income. But that's where you want to go. You need that residual income in order to sustain yourself and survive like you're supposed to, okay? Now, when the children might say, well, how can I get on a 50% budget? Well, how can I go to college? How can I make this money? How can I get my real estate? Well, you tell them you get two jobs. You live off one, work on the other, okay? Most jobs pay about $10,000 a year. After 2 years, you got $20,000. Then go on a sheriff's sale and foreclosures, pick a piece of property for about $5,000 or $6,000, and rent it up. They can do this a few times until they make enough money to go to college or do whatever they have to do. But that's how you get the money to begin getting your residual income. The 50% budget is everything. They tell us as we're going through the educational process to say 10%. But as soon as something happens, that 10% is gone. It's just out the door, you know. You need at least a 50% budget in order to save and secure a future for yourself and your children. And if you can get this message to the children as soon as possible, get it to them before they get out of school. I have two children now. They just turned 21, twins. And where I taught them this when they was about 10, 11, they've been getting this information. And now they're in the position to use it. Now, they couldn't use it before, but you know when you get something into the children early enough, it will stay with them all their lives. So the earlier you get the information into the children, the better it is for them, you know. And parents, don't be in a hurry to kick the children out of the house. Let them stay there for a while. Let them get themselves together. They're going to work, you know, they sit around for a long time playing video games. That's something different. But if they're in the house and they're working the two jobs, you're teaching them, they're coming out of high school, they work the two jobs, you know, don't be in a hurry to kick them out. That way they can help you out a little bit. You can to sort of take care of them and make sure that they're on the right process, that they don't get hooked up in something that that's not going to actually benefit them the way it should benefit them, okay? Now, remember, economics is somebody else working and paying you. Now, when you go to school, I've been to business school, I had accounting. You got microeconomics, macroeconomics, all kinds of names. You can spend 4 years in school learning about nothing, you know? And when you come out, you still don't have the working knowledge of how to make the millions of dollars for yourself. Because they're basically training you to work for them so that they can make money off of you. But you need to learn how to make money for yourself. And that's what the 50% budget is all about. And that's what the proper understanding of what economics is. So because they don't tell you actually what economics actually is, and they tell you how to use economics for them when you go to work, Now, you know how to keep them books and make their money come out right. You know how to do all that. But when you come out of high school, you don't have a plan to put yourself in a position to make $300,000 to $400,000 a year. You don't have that kind of plan. Your plan that depends on IBM and Fios and all these other big companies to get the money that you started. It's okay to go to these companies to work, but don't it seem strange to you that you come out of the most prestigious colleges on the planet with a resume in your hand? Come out looking for a job, have the wherewithal to create the type of jobs that you want to take you into the future. So Bill Gates quit high school. He quit college. Man, this ain't working. He quit college and made something for himself. Now he's the business guy on the planet. A lot of the millionaires never graduated high school. I'm not telling you not to let your children graduate high school. That's not what I'm saying. But if you get the right thought process, you can make the money early. You don't have to wait a long time. We're almost out of time. I think we got about 3 or 4 minutes here. But that's the 50% budget. That's the thought process. That's the economic structure that you want to put with your kids. Now, what they do, when they first come out, let them get a 3-story piece of property. Live on the first floor, rent the other two out. Now, they can funk out the first floor in the basement. It's just like having a 2-story house. First floor in the basement, funk that out, and rent the other two out. Now, they're living rent-free. All you have to do is pay the taxes because somebody is working and paying them rent. That's how they get started. All right? If they can't get a 3-story building, get a house, live there, rent out a couple of rooms or something, you know, that will get them started into the economic structure. We're talking about residual income. If you can't get into the real estate, make a record, write some poems, do a book, write a history on your life. You'd be surprised at what you went through that people would love to read about it. You think that your life, you might think that your life is insignificant. Put it in a book and put it on the market. You'd be surprised at how many people will buy that book just based on what you went through. Because, you know, I'm telling you, I'm sure all the people on this line, I'm sure that you don't went through hell in this country just to get to where you are right now. Put that in a book. You'd be surprised at how many people will relate to that book and will go and buy the book. I'm just saying there's so many ways to get to this residual income. But you have to be thinking about it. Your thought process has to push you in that direction. So everything depends on your thought process, and that's what we've been talking about, the thought process. I'm going to go about 2 minutes here. I'd like to, once again, just thank everybody for being on the line, because every time I see these numbers pile up like this, it's like you're showing me love, you know. And you decided to spend a few minutes with me, and I appreciate that. I want to thank you so much. And I just want you to remember a couple of things that we're just going back to love again. This board is going crazy. You can see it. I just want to go back to love again. Love is the act that makes everyone feel good. Now, you do have a neural net in your heart that literally speaks to your brain, all right? They're communicating. Your heart is actually communicating with your brain. I know you don't hear this kind of stuff happen. Okay, I got about 60 seconds here. But your heart is actually communicating with your brain, okay? And remember that it gives off hormones when you don't treat a person the way they're supposed to be treated. And the way they're supposed to be treated, you have to learn from them how they want to be treated. And then you treat them like that, and your relationships will last forever. Things with your family will last forever. Things in the community will last forever because you know how to treat each other. remember, if you're married right now, remember when you first got together with the person that you're with, remember how you were treating each other. Go back to that for a while, and it will be an amazing experience. It'll be like old times again, you know. Because you can be with a person for 3 years, and all of a sudden, where does the other person come from? Because they didn't know what love is, okay? But the action that you do in the beginning of the relationship, that is the love. And that's what ties the person to you, and that's what makes the person love to you and stay with you forever. ever, okay? I got about 10 seconds here. So I like to say love is the act that makes others feel good. And today, go out and love somebody. And once again, thank you very much for being on the line. I appreciate you sharing your time with me. And I love you very much, and I will see you next week.